It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson. That's MONSON.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice out there as we're engaged in this battle of ideas that is an epic battle in our country right now. And greatly appreciate each and every one of you. I so appreciate you joining us and listening. You're each treasured, valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You are here for a reason, and it's important to engage in our civic duty to protect our country here. And I so appreciate this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Producer Steve, it is Memorial Day weekend. And Patty and I were talking about you just the other day when you said you have gotten very frustrated with a Memorial Day sales and thinking about the barbecue. Not that we can't have barbecues on Memorial Day, but I think that we've many times we've lost what this is really about. And thank you for really bringing us back on that. In fact, I think that I actually said Happy Memorial Day in the past, and it's like, honest to Pete, I cannot believe it. I just, I'm not doing that anymore. It is a somber, it's a time to sit back and reflect on this great country that we have and the people that gave everything, their lives, so that we could live in liberty, which is the responsible exercise of freedom. So thank you, Steve, for really bringing us back to what this this day is.
I think all four Gospels mention Jesus' reaction to the money changers in the temple, you know, that indignation. And I'm not comparing myself by any means, but that is the mindset that comes over me when I see these, you know, the big Memorial Day sale, yada, yada, whatever it is they're selling. I say, no, this is not right.
No. And on America's Veterans Story Show, it's something that is just on my heart to interview our veterans and our military personnel. And first of all, we have an amazing week that you are working on putting together, Steve. We're reworking five of our America's Veterans Story shows with it's three World War II veterans. And Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday will be part one, two, and three of our interview with Major General John Ron. He was a captain with the 5th Ranger Battalion, first day of Omaha Beach, Normandy, France, in World War II. And he's 98 years old, but his recollection is like it was yesterday. And that's what I find with combat, is it is something that is seared on their hearts and their minds, and they can recall it like it was yesterday, Steve.
I don't remember now what year Saving Private Ryan came out, but I think that was Spielberg's work, but the emphasis was, at least in the opening of the movie, was to capture Normandy. And, you know, perhaps the moviegoers have seen the old black and white footage of the photographers who were there as it was happening. But in, you know, Spielberg, the way he attempted, he knew that I need to put something out there that will grab people's attention as to the horror of what was waiting on the shores of Normandy.
Yeah, and I think in talking to these World War II veterans, he pretty well got it. It was extremely horrific. And we did amphibious landings in the Pacific as well. There were other D-Days also. And on, on Thursday, our interview is with Jim Blaine, who is a Marine right here, one of the Cooper's Troopers guys, and he was at the Battle of Iwo Jima. And then also Don Whipple will be on Friday, and he also just a young kid at the Battle of Iwo Jima. And so that's going to be really, I think, a really important week. You won't want to miss that. And then this Sunday on America's Veterans Story Show, which airs from 3 to 4 p.m. and 10 to 11 on Sunday, is our interview with Aaron Peterson, who he flew Chinook helicopters in Afghanistan. And it is a very important interview as well. So really encourage you to check in on these, because they're just important stories to hear, Steve.
Well, I guess what I get from this week's show is that, again, our even non-religious people in this country, they are still under the umbrella of the Judeo-Christian outlook on life. And in Afghanistan, that's not there. The enemy is incredibly ruthless. And what these guys were seeing in the face of, you know, this particular enemy, again, it's not everyday stuff that these guys have been a part of, what they witnessed. And again, it's a story to tell.
Well, it is. And Steve, I was thinking a lot about this. There's the, you know, I think it's the Bible verse, to whom much is given, much is required. And I think the left has used that and said, well, that's our license to take your money. But in effect, what I think it really means is we have been given this gift of liberty. And what we're seeing in society, we're seeing our society break down because we don't have our priorities in the right place. And because much has been given to us, we have got to engage in this battle of ideas. As I'm going through the packet here, the far left that has taken over the Democrat Party does not care about everyday individuals. And what they do care about is taking away everyday individuals' freedom and taking away their right of to make a living, their pursuit of happiness. And we see that with all of this excessive and unpredictable taxation and all these fees that's occurring, Steve.
Well, we've been, how many weeks now, actually months, have we been doing the bill of the day? And what pattern have we seen come out of this? More taxation, more government, more bureaucracy. And the maddening thing is, they know no end. They'll just keep right on trucking. We want more committees, more bureaucrats. And with that comes a huge price tag. And their attitude is, well, we'll just go back to the taxpayers. And once we find a way to undo Tabor.
And you see them dancing, or not even dancing, that there is a full assault on Tabor, which is Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights. And the Taxpayers Bill of Rights that we passed here in Colorado is just about good manners. It says to those PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, one, if you want to raise our taxes, you just have to have the good manners to ask us. Two, if you want to incur debt, so that would be like bonds that we have to pay off, then you just have to have the good manners to ask us. And three, if the Colorado government takes in more revenue than a very ample formula of population plus inflation, if more money is received by Colorado than that, then they just have to ask us. And they do not want to ask us. They want us to work. And they want to take the fruits of our labor. And that is not the American idea. That is socialism, Steve.
What did we say? They see us as Guernsey cows, as long as we keep producing.
Yeah. But what happens is ultimately when people start to, when the incentives get wacky, then you don't have the incentive to, when you're pursuing your happiness, pursuing excellence, which creates good services and good products. And that people will want to, you know, trade their hard-earned dollars for is production goes down, quality goes down, and socialism never works because the incentives are all in the wrong place. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights and their property and just all that they do because I should have it totally memorized. It's never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, or livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, or what we're seeing now, Steve, is coercion. We're seeing big business and big government coming together to coerce people. They're saying we're not forcing, but they're coercing. And that's also one of those force words, Steve.
Yeah, yeah. And what is that? Just thinking, that thought just went out of my head. So carry on. Okay. Well, I know what it was. In terms of what you're saying, in terms of taking resources away from people through excessive taxation, one of the other things we've discovered, or we're seeing, politicians at almost every level, but especially the federal, have done a good job of isolating themselves through their incredible under-the-table deals and just their base salary alone. How many Americans make $175,000 a year?
Oh, I know it.
So it makes them insensitive, to, whether they're aware of it or not. It's like Novocaine. They don't feel the pain that they're causing.
They don't. That is for sure. And I tell you what, Steve, let's go to break. And when we come back, we want to talk about the bill of the day. And also, you won't want to miss the inspiration wisdom of the day as well. We'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And if the Avs are in the playoffs, they don't know for sure if they're going to be playing Minnesota or Las Vegas. I guess that's a 3-3 tie right now. And so we'll find out probably tonight on who they will play. But Hooters Restaurants is a sponsor of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Story Show. And so appreciate their sponsorship. But they're a great place to get together with friends or pick up some of those great boneless wings. Or I love the smoked wings as well. And get together with your friends and just step away from all of this craziness right now and enjoy the Avalanche and the playoffs. And so go to my website. What's that?
Oh, I was just wondering, do boneless wings come from boneless chickens?
No, but... I was going to say, but these current Democrats come from spineless individuals. How's that?
Go, you go.
Okay, but yeah, be sure and check out my website and go to the sponsors tab. And I highly recommend each and every one of those sponsors there. And click on the Hooters icon there or the tab there, and all of their specials will come up. And we do look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Our guest in the third and fourth segment is Rick Turnquist. He's a frequent guest, and also he writes many great op-eds for us here on the Kim Munson Show, and he plans on continuing to do that. And one time when he was on the show, he said, I am not going to pay 1 cent of Senator Faith Winter's program, the family leave program. And I thought, how's he going to get away with that? Well, you know what? He's going to move to Oklahoma. And so I thought the quote for today, I thought, let's get an Oklahoma quote. And I'd forgotten about this guy, J.C. Watts. And he's an American politician, clergyman, and athlete. He was a college football quarterback for the Oklahoma Sooners and later played professionally in the Canadian Football League. He served in the U.S. House of Representatives from 1995 to 2003 as a Republican representing Oklahoma's 4th Congressional District. He was born in 1957. He goes by J.C. Watts. His given name, Steve, is Julius Caesar Watts Jr., hence J.C. Isn't that something?
I love it. I like to hear the story from his parents behind that one.
I know it. I know it. But this is really something that it is biblical. Washington said basically this. Lincoln said this. And this is what J.C. Watts said. He said, character is doing the right thing when nobody's looking. There are too many people who think that the only thing that's right is to get by. And the only thing that's wrong is to get caught. I thought that was very appropriate for what is happening in our society today, Steve.
Oh, my. It's just, and it's coast to coast and border to border.
Yep. And we need to get back to teaching character in school. Our kids are falling behind, Steve. And when I think about, you only have a certain amount of hours in the school day. And if you're focusing on teaching kids about the whole LGBTQ agenda or the critical race theory, you're taking away time that you could be teaching kids character, teaching them the things that they need to become productive, successful citizens. And then we see this, and education is so important to us. And again, these PBIs know that. And so that is why they couch everything for the children when, in essence, I mean, you look at the amount of money that's going to education here in Colorado, or well, in Colorado and nationally, it is astounding. But I want to get to this bill of the day, Senate Bill 21009. The sponsors are Senator Joaquez Lewis and Representative Caraveo. And first of all, I mean, it's concerning the creation of a reproductive health care program. Now, let's just think what all could be in a quote-unquote reproductive health care program. And in connection therewith, providing contraceptive methods and counseling services to participants and making an appropriation. But basically, what it is it is giving free contraceptives to people that are living in Colorado illegally. I think the cost is over $4 million. And they couch this with, you know, fighting poverty and that women can get a better education. But in essence, my concern is that abortion is going to be one of those things that will be included in that. So let's think about this. The Democrats are encouraging people to come here to America, to Colorado, and offering all kinds of free stuff. But behind that is they're really more interested then in, quote unquote, not having them reproduce. They want to be in that whole part of people's lives. And of course, the millions of dollars that will be used for this program is coming from hardworking Coloradans. And I just want to say again, Steve, this is really, it's just really frustrating.
Once again, look what we've done to ourselves in terms of not having a strong immigration policy. We're literally now writing legislation for people who shouldn't be here. I mean, is that the bottom line?
Right. But there's the bigger part of this, Steve, and that is they quote unquote say that they care about people, but they care about puppies and they care about, you know, dogs, animals or whatever, but they don't care about people. They don't care about children. I was reflecting on this just the other day that they're taking away the innocence of our children through all of this sex education and this LGBTQ agenda. Patty has it in the headlines here that Lego is coming out with a transgender Lego set. And I love Legos. I think that they are such a creative thing for kids to have. And it's beyond belief that instead of kids just building things, that they have this agenda. And little kids normally aren't even thinking about this stuff. It's because these adults are starting to take away their innocence. And there's something so wrong about that, Steve.
Well, I'm going to circle back to, oh my gosh, what did I just say? Jen Snarky. To something you said earlier. They constantly run out and, you know, raise the banners that suggest that our kids are deficient in not knowing about these things. So they get their way, they get the legislation pushed through, and now they're consuming time in the classroom to teach a variety of different things that push out, you know, the formal learning of, you know, language and mathematics, and they create another deficiency. You know, the deficiency is not the fact that the kids didn't have a, you know, sex education or this LGBTQ, whatever. They're creating another deficiency in basic education.
And while they're doing that, our kids are falling behind on an international level. And I also remember Well, I just encourage you all to go and just do a web search for the Saline, Kansas 8th grade graduation exam. And my grandmother had an 8th grade education, and we used to say, kind of think that wasn't that great of an education. Take a look at it. She was a very smart woman. She was very, very well read. And those are the things that we should be helping our kids learn how to do, is how to do computations and read and critically think. And instead, we are taking time and money from the school day to teach our kids these agendas to hate America, to hate themselves. I was listening to Tucker Carlson the other night, and he had some people on that had done the transitioning with the drugs, and it was very graphic on the surgery that is done. And one of the guys there, you should listen to it. Anyway, he had a number of different surgeries, was in the hospital with significant bleeding. I mean, you think about it. You go in and you start to reverse how people were created. There's going to be a problem with that. And the guy said that he thought that he was searching for happiness. And he thought by having all this surgery and that he would find happiness there. He did not. He said ultimately he's cried out to God. And that is the place to go when you're searching for happiness, is to go to faith and understand that. Anyway, it was very graphic. I just
We circle back to the bill of the day?
Yeah,
there it is again. That's not a habit I want to get into. You know me, and I guess I hinted to you earlier that I want to ask the question: does this hint of vote buying some way? And the reason I say it, we all know that there's a embedded base of Hispanics here in Colorado. They're here legally, but they vote. And a bill like this, for people who aren't here illegally, they have extended families, and it's kind of an exponential thing that goes to the vote.
Yeah, you know what? I think that they're overplaying their hand on this, though, Steve, because typically the Latina community is Catholic, and they may think that they're vote buying on this, but I think that we should make sure that the Latino community knows what this is all about, because I think that this could really backfire. One other thing, very quickly, I just wanted to note that this House Bill 1295, this is some good news that Patty put on here, that Colorado GOP Chairwoman Christy Burton Brown released a statement that there was an assault on charter schools, and it looks like that has been defeated, which I think is really important news, because families, for them to have choice in education, when we look at this curriculum that is being taught, we need to make sure that families have opportunities to vote with their feet. And we also need to go to work to make sure that our inner city schools are striving for excellence and are not just pushing this agenda as well. Jason McBride, we're coming into Memorial Day, and I know that it is a very important holiday for you. Your father-in-law was a veteran, and it's a time for us to stop and reflect during this Memorial Day weekend, Jason.
Yeah, I think it certainly is. There's a lot of people that gave their lives to give us what we have, the freedoms we have, and boy, it makes me sad to see just this movement to be less and less proud of the accomplishments that America has made for the whole world. A lot of those squarely on the backs of our fine people of the military. So, I express my appreciation without reserve.
Well, that's for sure. And I so encourage everybody to stop and reflect this weekend. So do you have a big weekend planned?
Well, we've got family in town. My daughter is graduating from homeschool, so, you don't get the normal pomp and circumstance. You kind of have to make it yourself. But, the next few days we've got a lot of family in town. We'll cook some burgers. We'll play some cards, and I'm sure we'll drink a few beers, Kim, as much as I probably shouldn't admit that on your show, knowing what a fine, upstanding woman you are.
Well, Jason McBride, congratulations on that. And as people are thinking, we're getting into the summer, we're watching what's happening on the political land front, I would recommend that people sit down and do a risk assessment with you, do some tax planning, take a look at their annuities. And so once we get through this next weekend, I think people should give you a call and sit down and do that, Jason.
Yeah, that's right. And you don't have to wait. You can even call today.
I guess so. You're still working today, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's that phone number, Jason?
No problem, Kim. Easiest way to get us is 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Well, Jason, thank you so much. Congratulations to you and your family. And we will talk to you then on, well, actually, next week you get the week off. So we will talk to you very, very soon.
I appreciate that. And Steve, happy Memorial Day to you too, even though you're a veteran and it'd be more Veterans Day. But we appreciate you too.
Well, thank you, sir.
Okay. And we'll be right back with Rick Turnquist.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. On the line with me is Rick Turnquist. You know him. He's a regular guest on the show. He's an author. He's a blogger. And he also does some really great op-eds for us as well. Rick Turnquist, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thanks. It's great to be here.
And you've got some news for people.
Yeah, so I announced it on Facebook, but I'm ready to talk about it with your listening audience, and that's the fact that I have moved from Colorado to Oklahoma. I'm living at home in Yukon, Oklahoma, and I work on the east side of Oklahoma at an oil and gas company.
Well, I have never spent much time in Oklahoma, but I would like to do that. It's one of those states I'd like to visit. There's a big difference between Oklahoma and Colorado?
There's a lot of differences between Oklahoma and Colorado. Just right off the bat, I've only been here a week, and I can already say, when I moved here, the mask mandate had been lifted by the governor of the state, and very few businesses were requiring masks. And now, most businesses I have been into, it's about half and half as to whether the staff has to wear masks, but customers don't. So no more annoying signs on the door. And the company I work for just yesterday lifted the mask mandate for vaccinated people, of which I am one. So no more annoying masks, going into the building and between offices. So that's been nice. And when you look at the active case, the number of cases in Colorado versus Oklahoma, I'm looking at the Worldometer website. Total cases in both states have kind of flattened out. Daily new cases in Oklahoma is almost nil compared to Colorado, which I believe still has the mask mandate in place. There's more new cases in Colorado still, even with that mask mandate in place. And the active cases in Colorado is still quite higher than the number of active cases in Oklahoma, which doesn't have a mask mandate. And the deaths are pretty much flat in both states. So, if we follow the CDC guidance, and you couldn't see my air quotes, but they're there, you know that they've backed off on saying that masks are required for people that have been vaccinated in indoor situations. So, you know, it's a much more normal place right now than I've been experiencing in my home state of Colorado.
Well, and you grew up in Colorado, right, Rick?
Yeah, I'm a native, and I've spent most of my life in Colorado. I've moved away for school and for work, but I always ended up moving back. But now, you know, with the way Colorado's going, I wrote a blog post on my website, To Advance Freedom, titled Why I'm Moving to Oklahoma. And basically, I'm not going to live under Democrat tyranny anymore. I refuse to live under Democrat tyranny. I refuse to let my productive labor in the form of taxes go to support their government.
And I think I'm concerned because so many of our freedom fighters are moving out of the state. I can think of four or five. You, of course, are among them. And what I think is happening in Colorado is really the petri dish for all of the terrible stuff that they want to try to get through. And then they want to take this and export this to Republican states. And so even if you are moving out of Colorado, you must be engaged and active in doing your civic duty, because they want to take this. They said, hey, it worked here. We figured it out. We've kicked the tires and gotten some of the bugs out. And they are coming for freedom states, for Republican states right now.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And, you know, I know that as a fellow graduate of the leadership program in the Rockies, that you've read the book Atlas Shrugged. And you know, one of the subplots in that book is how Daggy Taggart, in, you know, kept wanting to stay and fight against the progressive looter state, and you know, many other people who you know, had been reached by Francisco and by John Galt, you know, had left, you know, kind of sold their businesses or retired, and you know, either lived at home or lived in Galt's Gulch. And that was one of the tensions in the book, was, you know, do you stay and fight or do you bail? And you know, I always intended to stay and fight, but you know, when after the results of the 2020 election, when the Democrats gained even more control in the state of Colorado, and the things they're doing to ruin the state of Colorado, you know, the family and medical leave bill, which never made it through the state legislature, was finally enacted at the ballot box. I promised myself I would never pay a dime of that tax, and I never will. So, you know, When I first learned of the merger of the company I worked for with the company I now work for, you know, I expected to be laid off, and I was going to I was looking at moving to Texas. But you know, when I was offered a job here in Oklahoma City, I of course decided to accept that, and I'm moving here. And there's it's a tiny bit higher state income tax as opposed to Texas, which doesn't have an income tax, but Oklahoma is still doing better economically than Colorado, and we'll continue in that route because it's governed by Republicans.
So what are you going to do down in Oklahoma? Have you probably have just gotten there. Have you thought about how you're going to get active?
Yes, I have thought about that. So I've already identified who my state senator, who my state representative are, and within the very next few days, I'll be writing to them. To let them know who I am and to tell them about my blog and, you know, some of the work I've done on your website. And I'm going to tell them, you know, I'd like to come speak to their groups and come speak to their Republican association to warn them. I mean, in the part of, in my blog, I say I plan to use my political voice to warn Oklahoma Republicans about the progressive peril. The Democrats have succeeded in turning Colorado solidly blue. And I say, it can happen here, it can happen anywhere. I will use my political voice to stand for freedom, limited government, and the values expressed in the Declaration of Independence. I'm calling for the Republican Party to return to its roots and core values. I'm calling for Republicans to be proud of our party's history and the clear advantages that result from Republican governance. And just as a visual example of the difference between Democrat governance and Republican governance, I invite you and your listeners, Kim, to picture what our state capitol and the area surrounding it looked like last summer. You had the state capitol itself, which had been defaced by you know, disgusting childish graffiti. You had homeless camps directly across the street surrounding the Capitol. It's a high crime area, and it's a blight. It's an eyesore. And when you drive by the Oklahoma State Capitol, it's in the middle of a beautiful park, which is pristine, green, and clean. No trash, no homeless tents, no graffiti. And in fact, I haven't even really seen, I've seen like one homeless person on the streets here since I've been here. And I've been pretty much, you know, I haven't been through downtown, but I've been near downtown. You know, when you talk about the pillars of modern life, fossil fuels and energy are one of those pillars. And there's a drilling derrick, literally in front of the car of the Oklahoma State Capitol on the ground. And there's actually a working oil well pump jack on the grounds of the Capitol. And that's not something you'd see in Colorado. And that just shows that the Oklahoma State government values the oil and gas industry, which contributes, you know, thousands of jobs and millions in taxes and billions in economic activity to the state.
Well, and the other thing about it is what it does for everyday hardworking people. You've said something, and I borrow it on a regular basis, is that fossil fuels are, you know, one of the pillars of our modern life, and we have taken it for granted. And this continual drumbeat towards quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes now, renewables. And actually, somebody had sent me a meme regarding renewables, and it had two pictures. And one was, you could see that there had been cut an area right through some trees where they put an oil and gas pipeline or a fossil fuels pipeline. And then it had been replanted. It was grass. There was green. And it looked great. And then the other picture was of a mining facility, an open-air mining facility, where in probably in Africa, where they were mining different things that go into electric batteries. And it's, you know what an open mine looks like, and just the comparison there. And so the fact that fossil fuels help us power our lives. And we've seen with the mess in Texas, with the big freeze down there, and then recently with the cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline, where people were in fisticuffs at the gas station, we realize most definitely fossil fuels is one of the pillars of the things that make us prosperous and thrive and flourish.
That's absolutely true, and you know, so-called renewable energy only accounts for about 11% of our total energy production in the United States. And you know, as I was driving here from Denver, you know, through eastern Colorado and Kansas and northern Oklahoma, you know, I saw a couple of large wind farm fields where, you know, there's hundreds of wind turbines, some turning, some not. You know, and it just made, you know, they were an eyesore. And,
oh, they are.
You know, instead of seeing a, you know, pristine prairie, you see all these things. It's just like, it's no different than a drilling rig, except drilling rigs, you know, go away and are replaced by unobtrusive pump jacks. And they actually produce clean, cheap, reliable energy. Whereas these wind farms, you know, who knows how much they cost, and who knows if they're, you know, economically self-sufficient, and you know, how much energy do they actually produce? And you know, it's a shame, and we, you know, we clearly, you know, if we want to get away from fossil fuels, you know, we can explore nuclear, we, you know, hydroelectric. There's all kinds of options that don't involve you know, these giant wind turbine farms that are just blights on the landscape.
They really are blights on the landscape. And then I had a listener that reached out to me that a wind farm was being, quote unquote, retired up in northern Colorado. And so we went out and took a look at it. And the debris and from those wind farms, and you have to ask, where does all this go? Apparently there's a wind turbine graveyard up in Wyoming. But from an environmental standpoint, we need to have at least honest conversations about this, because you're not being honest when we don't know what happens to these in all the different components of it once they're retired. And so we need to have honest conversations about all of this.
Absolutely. And I've heard that the components of wind turbines can't be recycled. So they just rot in landfills when they're past their useful lives. And you know, you have to have fossil fuels involved in the construction and the building of wind turbines. So you can't get it, and you have to have fossil fuels to cover baseload when the wind turbines aren't turning because the wind's not blowing or because it's frozen. So you know, they're you know, some people like them. You know, I haven't studied in depth as to whether they actually are economically self-sufficient, but they certainly are a fantasy of the left that we can do away with fossil fuels and completely replace fossil fuels with wind and solar energy.
Well, and it's not reliable at this time. You and I both believe in free and fair markets. But when you have incentives on one side for an industry, and then you have public policy on the other that's trying to shut down that particular business, and over here where the subsidies and the incentives are, you see the business, for example, Xcel Energy, that is basically in bed with the big government, and they're using policies to try to shut down competition and force people into their product. That's not a free and fair market. Rick Turnquest. Hey, we're going to go to break. I have on the line with me author and blogger Rick Turnquest. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great sponsor of The Kim Munson Show. And Hal Van Herkey is a veteran. And as we're coming into Memorial Day, we certainly want to pause and just have thoughts of how grateful we are that we live in this modern life where we are, as Rick Turnquest has said, at the pinnacle of human flourishing. But Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great place to do your Father's Day shopping, whether or not your father is a chef, or he's a collector, or a sportsman, or he needs another utility knife for his toolbox. Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go. Check out castlegate.com. That is their website. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Rick Turnquest.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you for contributing and helping us as we keep our independent voice out there, looking for truth and clarity by looking through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom, using critical thinking, who, what, when, where, and why. You start asking those questions, and it takes you down rabbit holes where you start to see some real truth there. On the line with me is Rick Turnquest, and you know him. He's a frequent guest on The Kim Munson Show, as well as writes great op-eds for us and has his own blog, To Advance Freedom. And Rick Turnquest, you have moved to Oklahoma. Does that mean that your voice has moved to Oklahoma as well, or will you still be on the show?
Oh, Kim, gosh, I'll continue to be on the show as long as you continue to invite me. I look forward to our I won't be able to be in studio with you, unfortunately, every month like I have been. But, you know, it's been, I think, about 2 years since I've been a regular guest on your show, and I've written several op-eds for you. And you know, it's been a great experience. I get to write about things that are important, and we get to talk about them on the air. So I appreciate the opportunity to amplify my voice, and I continue to be a collaborator of yours as long as it works for both of us. So.
Okay. Well, your perspective is very important. And you said that during the break that Oklahoma is solidly red. What does that mean exactly?
So I did a little research, you know, just on Ballotpedia to look at what the composition of the Oklahoma state legislature is. And there's the state Senate has 48 legislators. And as of this moment, 40 of them are Republican with only 8 Democrats. So they've got a supermajority in the state Senate. And then in the state House, there's 101. And I'd love to know how they arrived at these strange numbers, you know, instead of 50 and 100, it's 48 and 101. But, you know, 3/4 of them are Republicans, 75 Republicans and 26 Democrats. And I plan to, you know, do a little more research into my new state and see, you know, exactly where the Democrat enclaves are. You know, as I drove through one neighborhood yesterday, I saw one of those "We Believe" signs that I've seen, you know, several places in Denver. And so obviously there's some Democrats here, but they're by far in the minority. And based on the superficial research I've done thus far, you know, as I mentioned earlier, Oklahoma is doing better economically in terms of rich states, poor states ranking than Colorado, despite the higher income tax. But there's a, you know, less of a regulatory burden on businesses here. There's no, you know, family and medical leave insurance tax looming over the heads of all the business owners here in Oklahoma. So that's something to be said. And, you know, one of the things I want to do as we continue going forward on the show is I'm going to compare and contrast Colorado and other states that are governed by Democrats and Oklahoma and other states that are governed by Republicans and you know, try to outline and you know, use factual data to demonstrate that Republican states and cities are better governed than Democrat states and cities. And I kind of touched on this last summer on a blog post on your site called Unfit to Govern. We published that back in July, right after the summer of riots or during the summer of riots. And, you know, there's clear examples that, you know, the states that are ranking in top-ranked economic states are all, you know, with two exceptions, one's blue, one's purple, governed by Republicans, and all of the bottom ranking states are governed or ruled by Democrats. There's, you know, eight blue and two purple states in the bottom 10. So, you know, it's definitely clear that Democrats are unfit to govern, and Republicans aren't perfect. You know, we certainly see that in Colorado, and I'm sure here in Oklahoma as well. But, you know, on the whole, as a blanket statement, I'd say that, you know, the evidence is that Republican states are better governed and do better economically than Democrat states.
Well, and as you do that comparison, Rick Turnquist, we see on the national level, those that are in charge now with this Harris-Biden-Rice administration, that they don't want us to have these 50 different experiments out there that you can compare and see that some do better than others. And then it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that's because of policy. So what they want to do is federalize these very bad policies that we have here in Colorado. For example, the big voting bill that they're talking about on a national level is in essence what we have here in Colorado. And that is never the way it was supposed to be. The things that the federal government are supposed to do is very, very limited. And let the states and the local government, and the most local government is the individual. We need to make sure that we're governing ourselves responsibly. And we start there, and then we go. You know, I guess I'd go down from that, because the individual is the one that should be responsible for their life. Then it goes to local, county, state, and national. But they're trying to take this experiment and federalize it, Rick Turnquist.
That's absolutely true. And I'm glad you mentioned that that voting thing, because when I wrote a book review of the book Power Grab by Jason Chaffetz, he talks about that in his book. And, you know, that was a real scary thing, because, you know, it does federalize elections and it tilts the playing field into the advantage of the left. And, you know, it's really really a bad thing, and I was terrified that the Democrats would get control and pass that bill. And it looks like they're on the way to doing that. So, it's tragic, in my opinion, that Colorado and the nation as a whole decided to give the Democratic Party full power in the last election, and we're gonna pay for it very, very dearly. And I encourage people to go to my blog and look at my book review of the book Power Grab. I published it in November of 2019 to look at what Chaffetz talks about in his book, and also to go to your website and read the blog post called "By Any Means Necessary," which kind of looks at the progressive advantage on a national level.
Well, and to the one point that you just mentioned, I'm not convinced yet that Americans chose to elect all of these people. And we're certainly going through a number of different election integrity questions out there. And so I'm not totally convinced yet that it was the American people that made that decision. And those that are out there saying, oh, there's nothing to see here, come on, just move right on, that's a big red flag, if you will, to me, Rick. And so I think it's really important that we see these election integrity questions through. And whether or not you're on the Democrat side of the aisle or the Republican side of the aisle, every responsible person, there's many in the Democrat Party who I think are looking at this Democrat Party and saying, wait a minute, this isn't what I thought this was. And I think many of them want to make sure that we have free and fair elections. Because if we don't do that, we don't have a country, Rick.
That's absolutely true. And let me just clarify, I totally believe that there have been and continue to be election shenanigans, in places throughout the country. I would say that they're probably more likely in places governed by Democrats, but I'm all for audits and reviews. As a CPA, I understand the role of auditing, in terms of looking at the books of public companies, and I believe governments and government institutions and organizations and processes should be audited, and that comes to elections. I also believe that only legal citizens should vote in elections in the United States, and that everybody should have to provide proof of ID to vote in a United States election. And I look forward to registering to vote here in Oklahoma and voting in the next election, where I can continue to support freedom and limited government.
Well, and that is really the vision of this whole American idea. And the fact that we need to be treating people equally. That is one of the great, the great things about this vision of our declaration, that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And as Calvin Coolidge said, if all men are created equal, then that is final. But what we've seen with this radical activist Democrat left is in their quest for power. And the veil is really off on that. They really don't care about people. They use that narrative, and they're good with that narrative, that they care about people, but they've used that to put through policies that actually hurt people. We've got probably a couple of minutes left, Rick Turnquest, and when I first saw that you were moving to Oklahoma, I had this knot in my stomach, but I'm excited for you. Congratulations on the move. What's your final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners this morning?
Well, Kim, it was very difficult for me to leave Colorado because, my roots are there. My family's there. I have family there. I love Colorado. I'm a native. I've spent the majority of my life there. But it just got to be the point where I had to make a choice to not be under that governance anymore. And, we both know several people by one count, probably close to 100 conservatives have left Colorado in recent months. And, it's sad because it just means that there's fewer, Colorado's just going to get bluer as people leave the state and move to other states. But at the same time, I think that it gives us hope because we're moving to states that need to stay red in order to preserve the American idea. And we're going to talk about that next month when I have time to sit down and write the blog post we talked about on the American idea. And I've been really giving that a lot of thought as I've driven across the country the last week, and look forward to working on that. But, you know, we all got to, wherever we live, we all got to stand firm and stand for limited government and freedom and personal responsibility and the principles espoused in the Declaration of Independence.
Well, Rick Turnquist, I wish you all kinds of luck and success in Oklahoma, and I'm so excited that we're going to have have you on still regularly, and that you'll be writing your op-eds, because your voice is a very important voice. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. Have a great day.
You bet. And our quote for today is from J.C. Watts. He says, "I like to call the ethos I grew up in with Oklahoma values, but you'd be just as accurate if you said American values. Except for our lack of a seacoast, Oklahoma has a little bit of just about everything that is American." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.